There was a thump against my window. It was still painted shut. This side of the house was shaded from the barnyard light, and with no moon up yet, it was dark. A soft light still glowed at the western horizon. There was another thump. I half guessed what it was. Going to the window, I peered out. Sure enough, I saw Lace's silhouette, sitting in the tree against the sky. Happy to see her, I hurried out the kitchen door and around the house. Tall, dry grass rustled against my legs. Lace? There was no answer. I looked up into the tree. She wasn't there anymore. I heard her laugh and turned towards the sound. It came from near the house. The barnyard light on the other side of the house put the house in a silhouette, but the shadow was perfectly black on this side.
You still can't see me, can you? Lace said.
Where are you?
Right in front of you.
A scent of something wild and sweet reached my nose. It was barely there, but I was sure of it. I can't see you, but I can smell you, I said.
What? I had a shower, Lace said.
No, it's not bad, I said.
I smelled it on you before.
It's nice. I thought it was perfume. I don't wear perfume, she said. Then what is it? She was quiet wherever she was, then said,
Maybe sage. Maybe lavender. My aunt grows a lot of herbs around the house.
I stepped forward with my hands out. Where are you? She laughed and I heard her move. How come you can see me, but I can't see you?
You have the sky behind you. I've got nothing but shadow behind me. Come on, I'll show you.
Suddenly Lace appeared out of the shadow of the wall. She took my hand and led me at a run around the house and out to the lane. Where are we going? I asked.
Out in the night, she said, raising her hands and spinning around. Isn't it a great night?
I wasn't really sure. I had never thought about night as anything other than night before. In Sacramento, night was never anything special, like day, except darker. Of course, here in Shoney, you could actually see the stars. I looked up and saw the Milky Way splashing its way across the sky from behind the cottonwoods. I couldn't actually see the cottonwoods, just their silhouette against the sky. I could hear them, though. A breeze ran through the leaves high above, making a soft rushing sound like a waterfall.
That's the sound of the night, Lace said.
There were streetlights in town, but none on our lane. It was so dark I couldn't see where I put my feet. I took each step, trusting the ground was still there. I couldn't see Lace, but sometimes we bumped shoulders as we walked. I felt her warmth. As we moved down Main Street into the sickly orange streetlights, I felt myself reappear. I looked at Lace. She grinned at me. So where are we going? I asked again. I felt guilt and excitement at the same time. I was supposed to be home in bed, and here I was, running around the streets of Shoney, in the dark. It couldn't have been later than 8 o'clock, but this was Shoney we were talking about. The streets were deserted on a Friday night. In Sacramento, it wouldn't have been this quiet at 3 in the morning.
Close your eyes and count to 10, Lace said.
Why?
Just do it.
I closed my eyes and counted out loud to 10. When I opened them, Lace was gone. I looked all around and I couldn't see her. Lace? I whispered loudly. I was annoyed.
I'm right here.
I heard her voice across the street, but I couldn't see her. Come on out, I said.
I am out.
No, you're not. And then I saw her walking toward me, out of a shadow.
You see what you can do at night? She said. Come on.
She skipped down a side street. I ran to catch up. We came to a block of houses. These were old houses, built of brick, like the one Mom and I lived in. They had porches with rocking chairs or two-person swings. On some of them, dim, yellow porch lights burned.
You stay right here, Lace said. Whatever you do, don't move, no matter what, okay?
She was off before I could answer. She ran across the street and up the porch steps of a house with a porch light on. She rang the bell and then darted away. I lost her in the shadows 3 steps from the porch. The door opened, and a man in a bathrobe and slippers looked out. I resisted the urge to bolt, hearing Lace's words in my head. Stay right here. The man came out to the edge of the porch and looked around. I was right out in the open. He would see me. The urge to run came stronger. I stayed put.
"Stupid kids," the man said.
As he turned to go back in, a little dog ran out the door and passed the man down the steps. It was a chihuahua. It looked one way and then toward me. its nose twitching. With a bark, it came at me like a tiny Mack truck. "No matter what," Lacid said, but I wasn't going to stand there and let a dog gnaw on my ankle. I turned and ran for my life up the street.
"Nacho! Nacho, come here!" the man yelled.
Lucky for me, the dog was obedient. It turned and trotted back, looking over its shoulder once, and giving me a final word with one fierce bark. I stopped running when I realized the man still couldn't see me. No sooner had he shut the door than Lace, coming from I don't know where, grabbed my arm and squealed in laughter.
"You were great," she said.
"Great?" I asked. "I ran from a chihuahua."
"Mr. Blair never saw you,"
Lace said. Against distant porch lights, I watched her silhouette twirl in a happy dance. I'd never seen Lace like this before. In school, she was quiet. With Mom, she was happy, but subdued. Not bouncy like this. She grabbed my hand and again was leading me down the street. We turned and went a block and a half over.
"Buck'll be in the house,"
she whispered as she led me into someone's yard.
"What the heck, Lace?" I said. "Who's Buck?"
Running around other people's property in the dark didn't seem like a good idea. Lace had already disappeared into the shadow. I hesitated, but when she didn't answer or come back, I followed. I was scared. My heart was racing, but I found myself trusting Lace's talent for shadows. I made my way slowly between the rail fence and the garage. I came out in a deep backyard. I could make out a tree, the roof of an outbuilding, and farther back, a corral. The corral was lit dimly by a neighbor's yard light. A fence of warped, rotten wood corralled an old horse, sleeping on three legs. In the dull yellow light, I saw Lace arrive at the corral and hurried to catch up. I tripped and landed on the tangle of hose as I went.
"Luscious!"
Lace called softly from the fence. The horse's ears swiveled toward Lace, but the horse didn't move. Lace hopped off the fence, disappeared into the shadow of the little shed, and then ran back.
"Luscious!" she called again. "Look what I got!"
Luscious raised her head and looked at Lace. Then, almost in slow motion, it lifted a leg and started plodding toward her. I didn't know anything about horses, but Luscious looked old. Her back dipped like a deep valley between her hind quarters and her neck. When Luscious finally got to the fence, she stuck her nose in Lace's cupped hands and started nibbling. Lace giggled.
"I love fuzzy horse lips," she said.
"Here," she put a few oats in my hand.
"Hold your hand flat. She won't bite you."
I held my hand flat and experienced fuzzy, rubber horse lips for the first time.
"Okay, Luscious, come here."
Lace reached and pulled on the horse's neck. Luscious responded by working herself sideways until she was next to the fence. Lace climbed up the fence, then onto Luscious's back. The horse didn't seem to mind a bit.
"Come on,"
Lace said. "No," I said. "I don't ride."
"Oh, please. Anyone can ride Luscious."
"No." "Marie rode motorcycles. You can ride an old horse," Lace said. The challenge in her voice bugged me. What would Mom think if she saw me afraid to get on an old horse? I climbed the fence, and with a lot more fear than I showed, threw a leg over Luscious and sat down. The sway back slid me right up against Lace.
"Hang on to me,"
she said. I did. With a nudge from Lace's legs, the horse started walking. It was an up-forward-down motion I had never felt before in my life. I clung to Lace.
"I can't breathe,"
she rasped. I could see that Lace's only hold on the horse was a couple of handfuls of yellow mane. Since she wasn't anchored either, I let go. I found that by putting my hands behind me, I could steady myself against Lush's haunches. She went once around the corral, much more slowly than I could walk. I couldn't see the fun in it. Lace changed it up then.
"Hang on," she said.
"To what?" I answered. She gave a harder kick with her legs, and it felt to me like Luscious sprang into a sprint around the Kentucky Derby. Actually, she only moved into an old horse trot, but it was too much for me. My hand slipped, and I fell backward against the horse's rear end. I bounced there twice like a basketball, my arms flailing in the air, and then fell on my back in the soft dirt. Lace finished her ride around the corral, stopping Luscious before she ran me over, and slid lightly to the ground. She didn't ask if I was okay.
"Wasn't that great?" she said,
offering me a hand and pulling me to my feet. "I was nearly killed," I said. I was annoyed she hadn't noticed. Lace only laughed.
You can't get killed riding Luscious. I rode her out to my house and back once.
She said this as if that proved her point. You'll get caught for a horse thief, I said, remembering that we were trespassing.
There aren't any missing horses, are there? She said. Come on.
I was happy enough to get out of the corral. To tell the truth, I kept looking around for blue and red flashing lights. How could we not get caught? I followed Lace through a hole in the back fence of the corral. I was dismayed to find myself in another backyard. It was big, like the last one. But in the light from the curtained window, I could make out that it was nicely kept. There was one of those fancy trees where the limbs grow down instead of up. A little gardening shed, and a patio with a table that had a big umbrella over it.
No, I said, we're going to get arrested.
We gotta go through someone's backyard to get to the street, she said. She grabbed my hand and yanked me across the yard.
The Tannenbrenners don't have a dog,
she said, as if she thought that was all I was worried about.
Then what did I just step in?
I felt a stiff squish under my right foot, and then the smell punched me in the nose.
Oh, phew, she said. Bug comes here the same way we did. Mr. Tannenbrenner has threatened to shoot him.
Why doesn't he just fix the hole?
Because he adores Buck. I seen him feed Buck leftover steak and scratch his belly when his wife wasn't looking. Now shush.
We made our way along the side of the house and came to the front room window. The curtains were open and the light was on. Lace dropped to her hands and knees and crawled until she was out of range of the light. I followed. In the safety of the shadows, in the middle of the street, I relaxed a little. The fear simmered down, and the excitement remained.
Lace, you are nuts, I said, grinning from the adrenaline and trying to scrape the dog poop off my shoe on the road.
She was twirling again, but stopped suddenly when I said that.
You really think so?
Her voice was dead serious. I couldn't see the expression on her face and guessed she couldn't see my grin. She wasn't joking. That was for sure. I didn't get the sudden seriousness.
No, I said cautiously. It's just a turn of phrase.
She didn't say anything. I couldn't see her face, but I could feel her looking at me. Maybe with the same narrow-eyed expression she had at dinner when she learned I had a grandpa.
It means I think you're a lot of fun, I said in a second attempt to explain myself.
It must have been enough. I felt her happiness turn back on. She grabbed my hand again and led me down the road.
Come on, she said. I think I'm late for my show.
We ran down the street and around the corner. Every step I worried a pothole would break my ankle. We came to a house that stood out a little. Instead of being older and built of brick, it was one of those homes they bring in halves on the back of a truck. It was just a plain rectangle with only one story. The roof was low compared to the peaked style of the others. It looked like every light in the house was on. Luckily, the porch light was off.
They have a wiener dog named Marbles, but after a hawk attacked him last summer, he doesn't come out much.
I wanted to ask her more about that, but she shushed me. We started darting from one shadow to another. My heart started racing again as I followed her. We worked our way around to the back of the house, where we dropped to all fours and crawled right along the wall. She stopped right under an open window.
I didn't expect this and bumped right into her hind end.
Lace turned and sat with her knees up to her chest like she was planning on staying a while. We were in a shadow, but it wasn't perfect. I could just make out her face. I began to ask her what she thought she was doing, but the finger to her lips and the voices from inside the house stopped me.
You're gonna miss it, a boy's voice said.
He sounded familiar.
I get the beanbag, said a younger girl's voice.
Too late, the boy said.
Mom, called the girl.
Sit by me on the couch, said a man.
Dad, it's my turn, the girl said.
The voices were so close I froze. If they stuck their heads out of the window, they could reach down and touch us. I looked at Lace and thought, you are nuts. She sat with her arms around her legs and her chin on her knees. The smell of popcorn floated through the window. My mouth watered. A woman joined them. Their mom, I guess. There was more family talk. I heard popcorn crunching as they ate. The sound of pillows hitting bodies. A warning from the dad, and then the mom saying, you're going to pick up every kernel.
Lace laid her head on her knees and faced toward me.
She was smiling softly as she listened. The voices so close didn't appear to make her nervous, but happy. The TV had been on the entire time with meaningless jabber from commercials, but now the show started. I heard the boy say it was The Walking Dead. It turns out that The Walking Dead isn't a show you can fully appreciate by listening. The actors kept talking about things they were looking at, and since I couldn't see what they were looking at, most of it was lost on me. A Apparently, this bothered Lace, too. Without a sound, she moved to her hands and knees and crawled to a tree that was 5 feet away. The tree was an old one. It had to have been there long before the house. I watched in amazement as she risked the light from the window to climb the tree. I don't know how she climbed it. The first limbs were over her head. She disappeared behind it. The next thing I knew, she was carefully stepping out onto one limb while holding another limb above her. Finally, she sat facing the house and then laid along the branch. She wrapped her legs around it for stability and put her chin on her hands. She motioned for me to come. I shook my head. There was no way she was getting me up there. They were going to catch us. She didn't look comfortable, but apparently she could see the show from there. I was too nervous to enjoy the show. I was too aware that I was sitting outside someone's family room window. It also occurred to me that I now knew how Lace learned all she did about people in town. If they found out, there would be trouble. It made me wonder about Lace. I started to feel another kind of uneasy. What kind of person does what Lace does at night? In Sacramento, I knew of kids who got in trouble at night, but none of them got in trouble for doing what Lace did. This whole thing was strange. My thoughts exploded into a million sparks when I felt something wet touch my arm and a sharp little bark sound from right beside me. I swear I peed my pants, just a little. I didn't fully understand it then, but Marbles was outside and had stumbled upon me in the dark. I'm thinking Marbles peed a little too, because he sounded as frightened as I felt. I took off one way, and Marbles ran, yelping the other way. It must have frightened the family in the house, too. I heard the dad yell, "What the?" I saw heads coming out the window as I rounded the corner. "Is it another skunk?" the boy asked from farther away as I ran. I stopped behind a tree on the other side of the road. I'm pretty sure Lace would have said I didn't need the tree to hide, but I wasn't taking any chances. Lace was still stuck up in that tree in the backyard. I could hear Marbles yapping away. He must have discovered her. Oh my gosh, this was it, I thought. Lace was caught for sure. As I stood there, panting and wondering what to do, I sensed movement on the roof. Then, silhouetted by the lighted living room window, I saw Lace hang from the edge and drop to the ground, landing with a dull thud. I stood with my mouth hanging open before I came to my senses and called to her as she ran up the street. She ran over and joined me behind the tree. She was making funny little sounds. I figured she was near hysterical from fright. She put her forehead against my arm. I listened a little closer and realized she was stifling laughter. I about called her crazy again out loud, but the front door opened and the mom stood there looking out. "I swear I heard something run across the roof, Daryl," she said.
"You can call the sheriff if you want," said the dad, joining her at the door. "But I'm telling you, it was probably just a raccoon."
"A two-footed raccoon?" she asked. With that, a little squeal of laughter escaped Lace's attempts to stifle it. The lady looked our way. "You hear that? That wasn't a raccoon."
"You'd be surprised the sounds a raccoon makes," the man said.
"Well, I'm calling the sheriff," the woman said loudly into the night. It was a warning. She shut the door. After a minute, Lace and I took off up the street at a full run.